Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having our good friend Michael Sossman back on the show. Senior Vice President and Partner at Berman & Company. And he is joining us here to talk, to give us a report on an assault on the gig economy. And by none other than the great state of fruits and nuts, California. Michael, welcome back.
Jim, always great to be here. Thanks for having me in.
Good to have you back. So the gig economy is, sometimes people think of the gig economy, they think of it as, you know, a lot of different people who maybe can't get a real job, or they won't commit to anything or whatever. But the truth is, the gig economy is cuts across all demographics, all age groups, and races and colors and religions and genders, and people are making a living in the gig economy. It is an economy. It is a substrata of our greater economy, isn't it?
It is, Jim. And just to add a wrinkle to what you just, or maybe a little more to the stats you just kind of quoted there, is that not only does the gig economy sort of cut across all genders, background, education levels, but polls have consistently shown that 70-80% of gig workers are doing it because they want to be independent contractors.
Right.
They want the flexibility, either because they can't work a full-time job because of personal issues, or they've got some other commitments that require the flexibility. So they're not trying to be a full-time W-2 employee. And I think what, you know, the gig economy, I think broadly defined, can include everything from kind of traditional freelance opportunities to, you know, being an on-demand driver or shopper through an app-based platform. But I think the idea that people who are doing this are just kind of doing it because they have no other option really isn't backed up by the data of the gig workers themselves.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what I call gig, you know what I call giggers? I call them small business owners. That's what I call them. They're my folks. They're part of my audience. And my perspective is from my own experience. I was downsized twice after 23 years as a good corporate employee for two Fortune 50 companies over the years. In the late 80s, I was downsized twice. And in the last time, after the last time, I said, you know what? I don't need help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And I started my own consulting company, which day one, I was a gigger. We didn't even know what it was. We didn't call it that. Nobody called me an independent contractor. I just went out and sold my consulting services. And then within a year or so, I incorporated and became made it an entity. But I was still a party of one doing business in the marketplace. That made me a gigger, right? And
I think that's exactly right.
I mean, somebody who decides to go do something on their own, who knows what it's going to become? In America, it could become anything, right?
Yeah, it's what you make of it. And I think what I think some of these app-based systems do today is they make the decision to do that, I think, and I really like the way you frame that, to kind of to become a gigger, is that it's as easy as installing the app on your phone. And especially if you think about the last couple of months, you know, there are thousands of people who have gone and sought employment in the gig economy because they were, you know, their business was the subject of mandatory closures. They were somehow sort of caught up in the lockdown. And so delivering groceries or something like that through an on-demand platform was a way to earn money.
And Michael, when I got downsized the last time, I had two teenagers and two mortgages. I didn't have a choice. But the other thing is, when I take an Uber around the country, when I get in an Uber, I strike up a conversation with the driver, and they're always happy to talk back to me, you know, to have a conversation with me, because they're, by definition, as an Uber driver, they've entered the marketplace on their own account. And when they ask me what I do and I tell them, they're excited about it, because, I mean, I don't know how many of them I've heard say, you know what, I'm doing this to get started, but I've really got something else on my mind. And they're talking about another business they're going to open up. But the Uber experience got them started.
There's no set story of somebody who's driving an Uber or Lyft. That's the amazing thing. It's a student. It's a recent immigrant. It's mom who's earning some money on the side.
It might be a 65-year-old retiree. I've seen it. We're going to come back and talk to Michael Sausman about some states, a state that's against these guys. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.